Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be.
Once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, we're asking the Holy Spirit to come forward, to see that we have the message, the knowledge, the wisdom, Father, that you want us to get from this word, so that we can grow in faith, grow in spirit, grow as your servants to serve you and to walk with you, doing the things, Father, that it needed to be done here, so that we can make heaven our home throughout eternity. Now be with us throughout this study, Father, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going in to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. This chapter is on the gifts of the Spirit for those that have the Holy Spirit within them. God tells us here in His Word what gifts we can carry. And they are nine of the gifts. Most don't carry them all, but you have the ones that you need to complete the work that God gives you to complete. All right. Here's verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he's wanting to teach you something. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. And he's letting us know about the time that all your Gentiles were idol worshippers. Now, here in 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. You see, all these gifts comes from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, and there are difference of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now he's letting us know here. And we're not going to get them all. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, disconcerting of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. You can carry more than one, and it may be times that you will have used every one of them. But we know that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us those gifts. And their gift to us, as I said, for the work that he wants of us to do. Now, and where he sends us. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. 14. For the body is not one member, but many. But we are baptized into one body. That body is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eyes, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? In other words, he's letting us know why we carry all these different body parts that makes up this one body. But you see, it's the same with the Spirit. Because when we become that born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, we have all put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this. And just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit or one, now so are we one in the body. Now, 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, as God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. In other words, you will be put where God wants you. That's why you hear us here talk about God putting us where he wants us. We have to wait on him to do that. Because until he does and lets us know, we don't know what he wants. Now, it's he that lets us know. We don't tell him. He tells us. And he tells us here in 18, he says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where was the body? You see, he's talking here. 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And we know that we all have to grow. So while we are in the early stages of our life and growing, we don't have the knowledge that others will have. So we're considered to be a little more feeble. But we're still necessary. Because we are still following him. We're not following the ways of the world, things that way. We're going out here and committing things we shouldn't be committing that we know about. And you see, when you're growing, that's something else that's not really understood. When you are yet in the growing stage, you've not yet reached being born again. You're going to make mistakes. Because you're going to be doing things wrong that you didn't know was wrong. But God does not count them as sin to you. But he lets you know, you don't do this, this is wrong. And you don't do it anymore. Because if you did, it would be sin to you. Sin is when you do a wrong knowing it's wrong. Now, In those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. In other words, we are there to help. 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, because it is still growing. Now, God's given it honor. 25. That there should be no chasm in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're not to look at the weak as being weak and not giving them the honor and all that is due them, because they are still doing right in the eyes of God because they're doing what they know. And what God is guiding them into, and they continue to grow. And they grow stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, a lot of them can outgrow us, outgrow those that think that they are higher than them. That's why we're not to look at ourselves as that way. We leave that pride alone. Don't walk with that. 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's the kind of care we are to have for each other. That when one member suffers, we all suffer with it. And when one member is honored, we rejoice with that member. Now here in 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now God tells us what he put into the church. Right here in the last few verses here. Chapter 12. And I want you to stop and think how weak most of our churches have gotten. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And it goes on here in 29, says, are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There is a more excellent way even than these gifts. But these gifts are to be in the church. Where are they at in most of our churches? He talks about the gifts of tongues and the interpretation. Those tongues we have to be careful about them and use them in the right way, because the gift of tongues from God is actually for self-edification. When you pray to God and you pray in the Spirit, you'll pray with that heavenly language. It is not to be used in the church unless it's by just two or three. And then one must interpret. So all that's there can understand and be edified. And if there be no interpreter, then it's not to be done. And that's in the Word of God. We're going to be getting into that very, very short. Now, pardon the ringing of the phone. That's the other phone, and I can't get to it. He'll quit here in just a minute. All right, now, we have finished with chapter 12. We're going to be going in to chapter 13. And that is going to be dealing with this more excellent way that he's talking about here in the last verse of chapter 12. Here in verse 1, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. You hear this? Charity beats it all. Now, to me, I really don't think you can actually carry any of the gifts of the Spirit and do the work God would want you to do without charity, because this charity, this word charity that he's using here means love, that godly love. That's what charity is, godly love. Now, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Love. The love of Almighty God and the love for God. It does not matter what we would do. Without our love for God and of God, we're nothing. Four. Charity suffers alone and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Now, you see why he's talking about charity being greater evil, the greater way. Because to become that born-again child of God, we have to have this charity. Now, 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now, those that don't want to hear the truth of God's word, and today most don't. But you see, that's because there's no charity in them. Now, 7. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. because it is, it's bearing all those things, believing all the things that is of God in His Word. Verse 8. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's letting us know. Because you see, when you first go to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are as a child. You lack a lot of knowledge and a lot of things that's missing in your life. Your life is changing, and you're beginning to put all this on. And you need this love of Almighty God in order to do these things. Now, 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then when I know, even as also I am known, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth, listen to this, because this is something we all are supposed to be and have. 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Those three things we'll all have as children of God. But these three, he tells us, now by the faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. That love. Faith will not work without the love of God. It won't do it. And neither does hope. You see, it takes that love of God for it to work. Finish with chapter 13. We're going to be going into chapter 14. We're probably not going to get all the way through 14, because 14 has got a lot of things in it that we need. Because very few will preach messages from this chapter. And when they do, they pick just very few and certain verses out of it to speak about. Now, here in 14 verse 1, says, follow after charity, in other words, that love of God, and desire, want spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Sorry to want it all, but you also want to prophesy. Because the word prophesy means that you are telling others. In other words, you are sharing this gospel with others. That's what prophecy is about in the New Testament. Now, 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. You see, I was telling you about that. You see it written here. You're not talking to mankind when you're speaking in tongues. You're to be talking to God. And it goes on here in this chapter. Like I said, we may not get there today. But to tell you about using it. Now, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He's letting you know in the church it is a lot better to speak prophecy-wise, in other words, in the understandable language, because when we don't, then they have no idea of what is being said. We've done no good at all. Only it could cause others to stay out of your church and miss out and maybe even miss making heaven their home, all because you're doing things that God has told you really not to do. Now, four. Now I had told you that speaking in tongues is for self-edification. Now here in verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. When you speak in plain language and you're speaking this word of Almighty God, you are edifying the church, the others that are there. But if you spoke in that unknown tongue, that's to edify yourself, because it does no good to them. They don't know what you're saying. Now, he goes on here in 5 and he says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. You see, what I was telling you truth. Right there, it's written. And yeah, we're going to be getting into that again later in this same chapter. Now, 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? Now, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? He's giving examples here. Now, because they have certain sounds prepared for battle. They have certain sounds for attack. They had certain sounds for retreat. And if it gave an uncertain sound, then nobody knew what to do. That's what he's trying to explain here. So likewise, ye, except you utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. This is why you don't use tongues in the church. Like everybody's standing and speaking in tongues. And he's even going to get a little more plainer here in just a little bit here. Now, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what you want. You want to edify the whole church. And that's what he's talking about here. Aaron 12. Now 13. Wherefore let him that speak in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And he goes on telling you why. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? He's letting us know exactly why not to do this. 17. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now, you see, only you would be edifying yourself to do those things in the church, unless you could interpret. But you would have to be carrying both gifts, and most don't. Most that speak in tongues don't carry the interpretation of tongues. They don't know really what they have said until God answers them. Now, 18. He says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is telling, I speak in tongues more than all of you. 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words, my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Five words, better than 10,000. And yet, we see church after church on television, they want to have their whole congregation stand up and speak in tongues. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues, other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. He's letting us know all about it. 23. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Remember what I told you earlier about causing some to leave the church and some not to come in because of what is going on inside? Now, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, He is convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest, and so falling down his face, he will worship God, and God is in you of a truth. When you are giving him the word of God in plain language, he is subject then to become a believer. But he's not going to be taken off on you, thinking you're mad. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us there. 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, hath a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Let all things be done unto edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most, by three. I want you to listen to this, because I told you about it. Now I want you to see it in God's word and hear it from God's word. By three. And that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. If there's no interpreter, then don't do it. Prophets speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that setteth by, let the first hold his peace, for you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject unto the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Uh-oh. Now, we're going to be getting into something else here that we're just going to touch it because we'll be getting into later on. Verse 34. As in all, well, 33 there. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. Huh? Oh, my church has got a woman pastor. It has. What's God think about it? You see right here what he thinks about it. What came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak in tongues, only as a whole. If there's two or three to speak in tongues, don't keep them from doing it. And they got an interpreter, no, let them go. Now, let all things be done decently and in order. There's no doubt, is there? God is very plain. Mankind today is not listening to the word of Almighty God and what he's telling them and how he's telling them to do and how to act. Yes, if you're in church and there's two or three in there that has been given a prophecy in tongues, and there is one that can interpret, then let it go. Let it happen. That's great. But as he said here, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Everything is to be done decently and in order. This is what I have been working for in the church. Is to everything be done decently and in order and according to the word of Almighty God. Not man's way, but God's way. We have come to the end of chapter 14. We're going to stop there now. And God willing, we can all be back together again at 6. And we'll be back into chapter 15. See what else God has got for us. Because you see, here in the New Testament is what you and I are to be living by. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the time that we can come together to share your word, Father. And now, Father, we're sharing it and sharing it with others. Father, twice a day, morning and evening, may it grow in number. May it grow in strength. May it grow in fruit through you, Lord. And may it be of help to a great many that are walking in darkness, and help to lead them from darkness to light, and that light being Jesus. And Father, we love you. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love the Holy Spirit. We give you praise and honor and want to bring glory unto you, Father, as we go on our way through this life, this world, Father, in all things. Now, Father, we pray for Jerusalem and Israel. We ask for peace for them, Father, because right now they have very little peace. Rockets every day causing destruction and death and wounded. Father, even more than that, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land for Jesus. This land of ours, Father, we pray for those to be removed from our government office that's against you, against the Lord, against the church and your people, and to be replaced with ones that will work for, with us, to bring this land to repentance, so it can be healed, and to put the Lord Jesus Christ back into every place that he's been taken out of, and to make him, Father, the Lord, once again in this land. And Father, our government can be put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word the Lord Jesus Christ. We need him back in our schools, Father. They're teaching our children things that ought not to be taught. They're teaching things, Father, that shouldn't even be taught to adults, let alone a child that is just growing. Bringing a lot of evil unto our own people. Help us, Father, in our churches. I pray, Father, that there will be a time that they will all stand up and come together and get back into your word and preach your word as it is written and not reworked and made to say things that man wanted to say, but will say exactly what you want said, Father. Help us. Help us, Father, this ministry to be what you want it to be, Father. Use it mightily and greatly. Yes, Father, is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. God bless. Have a great day. And God willing, we can all be back together again at 6 this evening, Eastern Time, and back into his word. Bye-bye now.